Support for WPR comes from Present Music, performing honest music with guest violist and curator Nadia Sirota, May 9th at 8 at the Milwaukee Art Museum. Tickets and info are at presentmusic.org.
It's 4:06, and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Last night, President Obama renewed his commitment to investing in renewable energy while, he said, responsibly developing domestic oil and natural gas deposits.
There's no reason why Congress shouldn't at least set a clean energy standard that creates a market for innovation. So far, you haven't acted. Well, tonight, I will. I'm directing my administration to allow the development of clean energy on enough public land to power 3 million homes.
Well, what does this mean for the economy and the environment? We zoom in now on America's progress on energy over the last few years.
We asked Michael Kraft, professor emeritus of political science at UW-Green Bay, to help put all this in perspective. Michael, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, one of the cases the president made is that the United States is moving toward energy independence, not a place we thought we'd be even maybe a decade ago. How accurate is that?
It's fairly accurate. You may recall back in the 1970s, every president, Nixon, Ford, and Carter, talked about the need to move towards energy independence. We actually went in the opposite direction. And by 2005, we imported, this is a reference to importing oil to power transportation, largely cars and trucks. And the latest forecast I saw just the other day from the Department of Energy is by this year, by the end of this year, we will be at 32%. That is 32% of the oil we use will come from outside the United States. And the projection is within perhaps a decade, we will be completely independent and use only domestic sources. The reason, of course, is we have greatly increased oil and gas production through the fracturing or fracking process that the president mentioned.
And that's not been cause for celebration for everyone. That environmentalists in particular say right. That fracking comes with a downside.
Right. So it's a two-sided development. Having more domestic oil is something that Republicans in particular have long argued. Some will recall the drill, baby, drill philosophy of 2008. The president and many Democrats were reluctant at first, and then eventually they did endorse more oil and gas production on public lands, and the Obama administration clearly has done that. Environmentalists are concerned on at least two fronts. One is that fracking may result, there's not a lot of evidence for this, may result in some contamination of surface and groundwater. But the real concern is natural gas is still a fossil fuel, and as the president noted, eventually we need to move away from fossil fuels. But he highlighted the fact that natural gas is what he calls a bridge fuel. It's better than coal, produces half the greenhouse gases of burning coal. It's probably better than oil if we can power vehicles through natural gas, and there's some developments there. But eventually, we have to move toward other energy sources, producing electricity through solar or wind or biofuels, and then powering our forests through electricity.
What kind of progress has there been? There's been some federal government support, some notable false starts, and companies that failed after getting loans. But behind that, right. Is there an uptick in those alternative sources?
Oh, absolutely. Some will recall that as part of the economic renewal package in 2009, the government invested tens of billions of dollars in energy research and development projects, a good portion of which went to solar and wind. So the critics will point to the company Solyndra, which received a rather large amount of federal funds and then went bankrupt. But a Brookings Institution study showed that the vast majority of money was actually well spent. And it was, as the president noted last night, was creating jobs and producing viable new technologies that when they become more fully commercial will help us, again, achieve energy independence, but also move away from the use of fossil fuel. About 83% of the energy we use in the United States and about the same number around the world comes from fossil fuels. So it's really hard, as the president said, we don't do this overnight. You can't replace 83% of the energy with solar power overnight. But what you do need to do is invest money in very smartly directed programs to develop new technologies and then push the most promising of those. And that is something the administration has done. The other side that he noted very briefly was the auto fuel efficiency improvements. On two occasions, the Obama administration has sharply increased auto fuel efficiency standards, and that's going to help achieve energy independence. and also save consumers a lot of money over time by not spending so much on gasoline.
And in the speech yesterday, he mentioned that he's done this for cars, or his administration's done this for cars. He's looking at trucks next. Is that an important next step?
Yes, it is. Actually, he's done it for both cars and light trucks. The standards that go into effect for model year 2016, it's about 35 miles a gallon, and for model year 2025, it'll be 54 miles per gallon. But that's for cars and light trucks. What he wants to do now is get, I assume, heavier trucks would be covered, and that's consistent with the initial actions on passenger vehicles, essentially, you know, small SUVs and cars and vans. And this is really an incredible change. Many who've looked at new cars recently will see how much more fuel efficient they are because they're using smaller turbocharged engines and more efficient transmissions, and manufacturers are beginning to look for lighter weight vehicles. And then eventually we'll ramp up to buses and trucks, and even the military has exhibited a lot of interest in using biofuels mixed with conventional fuels to power aircraft and naval vessels. And so this is an effort that's not been noted very much that is really distinctive, I think, for this administration, much more so than was the case under President George W. Bush. And the president really hasn't received, I think, a lot of congratulations for moving the country in that direction.
Are automakers, you mentioned that they're having improvements, are automakers able to keep up? Are they going to hit the targets that are coming down from the White House?
Well, I guess that remains to be seen. But when the EPA and the Department of Transportation, technically the DOT sets the standards, the EPA does the testing, and they administer this together. When they set the standards back in 2009 with the initial agreement, and that was finalized in 2010, and then in 2012, the second set of requirements, the automakers were very much part of this process. It was automakers, environmentalists, energy experts. There were public hearings and opportunities to comment. The automakers very definitely agreed they can meet these standards if given sufficient time. So they have essentially 10 years to come up with markedly more efficient vehicles. Now, I expect if they can't do that in 5 years, they may say, can we, you know, extend the deadline? But I think there have been a lot of changes already, and every model year brings us more electric vehicles, more hybrid vehicles, more conventionally gas-powered vehicles. A Camry, for example, a relatively large sedan, getting 40 miles a gallon on the highway. That would have been considered remarkable 10 years ago, 5 years ago.
I think we are
moving in that direction.
Getting back to electricity production, in that quote we played from the president, it was one of the examples of him taking executive action, not waiting for Congress, saying, right, we're going to use public lands as a site for clean energy production. And what did you say, 3 million homes will be powered by this? Is that how's that going to happen?
Yeah, actually, one of the other little noticed developments under the Obama administration has been that in addition to oil and gas leasing, which has received a lot of notice, the Department of the Interior is leasing a lot of public land out in the West, particularly in California, and in the Southern California desert area, and I guess extending over to Arizona and Nevada, to develop very large-scale solar projects and wind power projects. And that's a dramatic increase. I see in some figures, for example, that we're increasing solar production on the order of 50% a year gain. That is there's been an enormous increase within the United States in solar generating capacity. Now that's going to produce electricity to power homes, as the president noted. But the other comment he made relative to that is that we are slowly beginning to move away from using coal to generate electricity. In a state like Wisconsin, we are primarily dependent on coal. We just lost one nuclear power plant in Kiwami this year. They closed because it couldn't compete with cheap natural gas. But otherwise, we're still relying on coal. And I would guess what's going to happen with new EPA regulations that are now in progress, that we're going to see almost no new coal-fired power plants, and we'll see existing ones eventually retired and replaced by gas plants. And that also will mean lower greenhouse gases and probably more efficient generation of electricity.
One thing the president didn't mention is one of the most divisive pieces of energy policy, the Keystone XL pipeline. Republicans are saying for jobs, the economy, and energy, you got to get this thing going. The president's own party, especially toward the left, are saying, don't do this. Please come out strongly against it. Is that still going to be a divisive issue for months, maybe years to come?
Almost certain. I was a little surprised the president didn't mention it because he said so much more about energy and different technologies. But one statement he made towards the very end of this discussion of energy and the environment, he settled on climate change as an issue. And he said the debate is settled, climate change is a fact. And he made a very kind of moral statement about we want to be able to look our children's children in the eye and say we did what we could. Well, many people look at the Keystone XL pipeline as critical. If you can't say what the president did and then turn around and approve the XL pipeline, which uses a very, something called very dirty Canadian oil. Others are mixed about that and say, well, it's only one pipeline, it's just more oil. We, by improving auto efficiency standards, as I noted, we've already done quite a bit more than many other nations to improve our greenhouse gas emissions. But the president, by not mentioning that and highlighting his commitment to action on climate change, which would be done by executive action through the EPA, that is, through a regulatory process, not legislation, that leads me to believe he is not going to approve the Keystone XL, because many people will come back and say, how could you say that about climate change and then approve the pipeline? But it is, as you say, it's a very divisive issue. And the White House, I think, is being very cautious on making early announcements about this. Maybe they're waiting for some additional studies that would strengthen the president's position on it.
That'll be one for us to watch. Michael, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's Michael Kraft, Professor Emeritus of Political Science at UW Green Bay.